In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin our summer services by joining our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have now led us to this place where we begin these festive services for the next few days. We thank you for the willing hearts of those that have already served for this occasion. And we thank you for the bread for this day and all the blessings of this life. You have been so good to us, and with words we cannot express, oftentimes, the thoughts of our hearts. But we humbly say, thank you, dear Heavenly Father. As we have now assembled to hear your holy word, we ask that you would settle the minds of those that have been called to serve from this place, that you would give your spirit free rein to speak your word. So that your name would be hallowed and glorified here from this place. And that your congregation would be fed and nourished and edified. And that we individually could receive that food that we need to make this journey of faith. Bless our gathering as only you can, dear Father. And we yet enclose in this prayer those that are struggling with trials and difficulties of this temporal life. We ask that they could feel your presence in the midst of sorrow and longing and difficulty, so that they would not give up this hope of everlasting life. We remember, dear Father, those that have gone the way of unbelief, or those that have not known your kingdom here on the earth. In love, we remember all of your created people, and we ask that those seeking ones would knock upon the door of your kingdom. For we believe that from here they could receive forgiveness and hope. And we yet enclose all that is in our individual hearts in this prayer that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we read the text for this service, it is my joy to bring the greetings of God's love and peace from the children of God in my home congregation there in Cokato. They sent me here with many prayers, and I pray that God would bless this occasion, but it is a joy to deliver the greetings of love and peace to you, dear brothers and sisters, here at the beginning of these services. In Jesus' name, we will pause before God's word, as the evangelist and disciple John has recorded in the Gospel according to St. John from the 7th chapter. We will read the first 9 verses in Jesus' name. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, "Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go you up unto this feast." "I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Amen. This portion of God's word speaks to us of an exchange of conversation between Jesus and his earthly brothers. Those brothers that grew up in that same home with Mary and Joseph. My guess is most all here, if you have a brother or a sister, at some point in your life, if not many times, you have spoken to them about the kingdom of God. This portion of God's word says that the brothers of Jesus did not believe that he was the Son of God. And we could perhaps try to put ourselves in their home growing up. Perhaps what it was like, I don't know. I can only try to imagine. But in our home growing up, there was many siblings, brothers and sisters. And each one of us were sinners, fell into sin and needed to ask for forgiveness when we stumbled and fell upon the way. And how easy a thing it was to speak to my brothers and sisters when I was just a young boy. But as time has gone on, it seems that this old portion becomes stronger and stronger, and it becomes even sometimes more difficult to speak of the way and the journey. But for this home where these brothers, the Bible lists them, and I don't remember their names, and you could look that up if you so desire, but I believe there was at least 4 of them that the Bible lists by name. They would have all been younger than Jesus in that home. And the Bible also says that there was sisters in that home. So we don't know how many brothers and sisters Jesus had, but he would have been the oldest. He was the son that opened the womb of his mother Mary. And we can learn from God's word that the brothers and mother and sisters of Mary, when Jesus began to speak publicly here in this world, when he turned the age of 30 or thereabouts, sometimes he was in the midst of the services where Jesus spoke God's word. We can remember one time when they were there, somebody came to Jesus as he spoke, and they said that your mother and brothers and sisters are without, and they want to speak with you. And we remember that the response that Jesus gave to that person that brought him that message says, he pointed to the people that were listening there and the believers that believed what he spoke, and he says, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. And this is my mother. Such an important matter it was, this kingdom of God. He referred to the kingdom of God as his mother, that one who was perfect and without sin. He referred to the kingdom of God as a mother. Everyone that is in this assembly or listening online was born of a mother. This morning, as I was thinking about this service turn, I was there in the corral with, as some of you know, I have a few head of cattle. And they're almost done calving, but there's still a couple more to go. But more recently, one of these young animals was born. Well, more recently, two of them were born, but one of them died. And the second one did not die, but the mother was struggling. She was very gaunt, and I don't know what was wrong with her, and I still don't know, but I've tried to help her the best I can. But the mother of this calf that did not die did not have any milk for the calf. So I took this calf, and I thought maybe I could graft this calf onto this other mother that lost her calf. She had plenty of milk. And I will have to say it's been quite a struggle. This mother has not wanted to accept this other calf. And as I was there this morning, I thought of this service turn. And I thought of this text that from which we read. And I have heard from others that raise cattle that if a calf dies and there's an aborted calf, if you skin the calf of that animal, and you just take that skin and you put it onto the live animal and you bring it before the mother smells that animal, that calf, and most often will accept it as its own. I didn't have the fortune of doing that because the calf died a day or two before this other animal. So I've been trying to force this mother to receive this little one. And this mother has not wanted to care for it. But if I put it in the maternity pen and I lock it up, and it has no choice but to let it nurse. It gives us a picture of the kingdom of God. This little calf knew that this was not its mother by smell, and it was nervous. But so it is that if it is true, as other people that raise cattle have said, that if you skin the animal and you put it on, the mother will accept it. And I thought of it as how it is here in the kingdom of God as individual people. We may feel that we do not belong. Is it true that this mother will care for us? We can learn from God's word how there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were naked before God and they hid themselves before God. They knew they had fallen short of the glory of God. They did not feel that they were in an acceptable condition. But we remember when God visited them with his word. He spoke to them very personally. And he asked them, "Where art thou?" And remember, Adam said, "We heard you walking in the garden and we were afraid. And we hid ourselves." Do you think God didn't know where they were? My guess is you're like me. We know very perfectly well that God knew exactly where they were. He knows where each one of us is here in this life, whether we are here in this assembly or listening online or in some worldly place. God knows everyone. He created everyone. But we can learn from Adam and Eve and what God did for them when he gave them a promise. He took coats of skin and placed it on them. It was not natural for them, but they accepted that clothing. It pictures for us this clothing that we have here in the kingdom of God that's given by our Lord through his suffering and death. Even as those skins, there would have been blood shed over those skins that clothed Adam and Eve. This clothing that we have as God's children, there was also blood shed for that. It was the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have this clothing, when we come before our Heavenly Father and are before the congregation mother, the mother smells that clothing. And it smells like the clothing of a child of God. But God does not force anyone to wear this clothing. But he wants to freely give it to all his created people. Jesus has shed his blood very specifically for everyone. And that includes you and I. Undeserving and sinful people. But God is a merciful Heavenly Father. If there's one listening to this service and you're afraid of God, you feel like he's an angry judge, God invites you here to this kingdom where you can be clothed with that clothing that's acceptable to God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The brothers of Jesus
For some reason in this text, they couldn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We know in that home there would have been no reason for them to point the fault at Jesus. He was perfect. He was without sin every day of his life. But perhaps at times there in that home, their brother Jesus had to remind them that is not right. That is sin. And I know that Jesus would have offered forgiveness for their sin. But for some reason, perhaps with their, as they thought of this with their carnal minds, it didn't make sense. How could this, the Savior of this world, how could he be our brother? We have the same mother, although a different father. Jesus' father was the Father, the Holy Spirit. But the natural father that he was given was a good father. Joseph, he did that earthly calling and he tried to support his family, even as you and I endeavor to do here on this journey towards heaven. But on this occasion, when they were going there to Jerusalem, the brothers were, they told Jesus that if you're the Son of God, show thyself to the world. It was the Feast of the Tabernacle. Last Sunday evening, as our brother served from this place, he also mentioned the tabernacle. We can see this tent that is sheltering us from the heat of the sun. This feast was a week-long feast. And the people that were gathered there, they brought their tents and their makeshifts, ways to protect them from the heat of the sun. We know in the land of Israel was oftentimes a hot place. And we know as the children of Israel traveled in the wilderness, they erected that tent where they held services when they moved from place to place. And that sheltered them from the heat of the sun. God's kingdom also works in the same way. Oftentimes we feel the heat of the battle. It's a battle of faith. And so we come into the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the kingdom of God. And God shelters us from the heat of the battle. And we can perhaps picture in our own minds as we look at the campground just across the way and see all the campers. We can imagine perhaps what it was like on that wilderness journey. Where here we have a few thousand people, but there was 600,000 men, not to mention women and children. It must have been quite a sight to see. I've seen pictures from summer services there in Finland, where the grounds is much bigger than ours and many more campers. Desiring to be before God's word, to hear that message of the gospel, to receive encouragement and strength in this journey of faith. We won't be here for 7 or 8 days as it was for the Feast of the Tabernacle. But the brothers of Jesus encouraged Jesus to go to the Feast of the Tabernacle. They wanted others to see and witness some of the things that he was doing. I'm not sure why the brothers of Jesus were not able to believe at this moment in time. Perhaps their own carnal thoughts and reason got in the way. We know it would have been sin of some sort. That is the only thing that keeps us on the outside of God's kingdom, unforgiven sin. But they encouraged Jesus to go to this feast. And they said, "For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brothers believe in him. So Jesus told his brothers, he says, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." It's always a good manner to be a child of God. There's not a better time to be a child of God than right now. Or is there a better time to be a child of God? To have this hope of heaven. To be here in the midst of God's congregation. Desiring to make it to the promised land of heaven. We know the children of Israel traveled for 40 years trying to reach that promised land. Oftentimes they fell into sin along the way. They began to murmur and to complain and to question God's wisdom. Why? Has that been a question in your mind? Why? Why has God allowed such heavy trials to come upon me, upon my family? When we dwell on that question, does it give us hope? Or does that question come from this mind of reason that we need for this temporal life? I know for myself, it's not an unusual question, unfortunately. But when I'm here at the services of God's children and God can open his word and speak to me, the question doesn't matter so much. God can wash away all those thoughts and sins away through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. And it renews my hope of heaven. That if I can continue in this way, I will make it. As poor and sinful as I am, I will make it to heaven. This clothing of Jesus Christ makes me acceptable to God. Not from any merit of my own, but through the merit work of Jesus Christ. That one who lived a perfect life and who spoke to his brothers in this text that we have read. And he told them, "Your time is always ready. It's always a good time to be a child of God. To come unto repentance and the forgiveness of sins." We remember from God's word when God spoke to the disciples, or maybe it was 70, I don't remember now exactly, but he sent them out. And he told them what to say, what to do, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Maybe if I can find that, we can quickly read that. Jesus told, he sent his 12 apostles with these instructions. He says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," from the 10th chapter according to St. Matthew. We will read verses 6 through 10, 5 through 10. "These 12 disciples Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand today. It is here in this world. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received and freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass for your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his hire. We don't feel, at least I don't feel, so worthy. But it is a worthy cause to speak about the kingdom of God and to speak this message here in this world that you can believe. Believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. There's not a more worthy cause here in this world. There's not a more worthy message to hear. For this message will give us hope of heaven. It will bring us from this life and this earth, this place of oftentimes difficulty, sorrow, all the way to heaven. It's a great matter to be a child of God. It is the greatest lot a person can have here in this world, to believe God's word and to travel as a child of God. Certainly sin besets us along the way, and that's a difficult matter for each one of us. I know for myself, when I've fallen into those name matters, it's a very difficult thing to carry. My footsteps become slow so quickly. My doubts grow, and they only grow until I'm able to come to the mercy seat when I can speak to another child of God and ask for forgiveness for those sins that I've done. And it's that picture that we have of those two angels on the Ark of the Covenant. I'm sure many of you Sunday school students know what that Ark of the Covenant was. That box that was maybe 2 feet by 4 feet. And it was covered in pure gold. And then on top of the lid of that box, there was the mercy seat, what was known as the mercy seat. And inside that box was, now if I'm remembering right, was Aaron's rod, the Ten Commandments, and the pot of manna. But on top of it all was the mercy seat, the most important thing that we can receive here in this life, to come before the mercy seat and receive forgiveness, the sprinkling of blood. And we can picture that as on that mercy seat there was those two angels, cherubims, that faced each other. And their wings were outstretched and lifted towards the sky and lifted toward each other. And it gives us a picture of how it is when we come before the mercy seat. Oftentimes, I'll have to say it's not an easy travel. It's not easy to make it there. But when God has given me strength to make it there, I've always heard the special message which we hear in God's kingdom. You can believe all of your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. I don't know what Jesus' brothers thought, but Jesus told them, he encouraged them to go there to the temple there and to that feast. Jesus knew that there was some there that they wanted to put him to death. So he didn't go there immediately, but he went there afterwards. But as the brothers were there, it is a good picture for us that they still wanted to be in the company of Jesus, even though they were not believers. It's always good to be in the hearing of God's word. Some of us have unbelieving siblings, unbelieving children, unbelieving friends. It's always a good matter when they come to the services of God's children. God can speak to them there. It is not our work. We can't force anyone to believe. Just as Jesus didn't force his brothers to go, he encouraged them to go to the feast. Sometime in these brothers' life, they received the grace of repentance. And it's our hope that our own relatives, our own friends, would also receive this great blessing of God, that they could believe as we believe, our sins forgiven. Not special in our own way, but it's special to believe. It's a gift from our Heavenly Father. And it only comes from God by His grace. We can't earn it. We can't force it. But as Jesus told His disciples, freely you have given, freely give to others. Maybe there's one listening to this service this morning and you found yourself as the brothers of Jesus. Not believing, but wanting to be in the hearing of God's word. Perhaps now as God has opened to you the door. To you this afternoon is preached that you can believe all of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. And now you're the same as God's children. You don't feel like you've changed on an outward sense, but from an inward, from the inside, you've changed. Your heart has changed. God has changed it from a heart of stone into the softness of a little child. Dear brothers and sisters, dear travel friends that are also here before God's word, you also have permission to believe. Maybe you've come here with something weighing on your heart and mind. Maybe you're worried that, do you still have that clothing? Does some other still want to care for you? Whatever your thoughts are, you have permission to believe this moment. Believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And if there's one sinner that has come to this place, this afternoon, it is I. I've come here with those doubts and worries, and I ask, will you forgive me for my sins and doubts? I want to believe. I want to travel with you, dear brothers and sisters. Right here, at this moment, I have no other desire than to believe. As you believe, my sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.